Okay. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. Picture yourself driving.
Driving where exactly?
You are deep in the high desert. Arizona, maybe Nevada. It is 110 degrees in the shade, and the heat is literally shimmering off the asphalt in waves.
Oh, yeah, the kind of heat where the air just feels heavy.
Exactly. Now imagine you are miles from the nearest cell tower. You're completely off the grid. And in that environment, most of the tech we carry in our pockets, our $1,000 phones or tablets, they just surrender.
Yeah, they overheat, the screens go black.
Right, they shut down to save themselves. But today, we are doing a deep dive into a document that outlines a way to build a network that doesn't just survive that environment, it actually thrives in it.
It is a fascinating look at what they call sovereign infrastructure.
Sovereign infrastructure, I really love that term. We are looking at a document called the Single Source of Truth for an entity known as De Reticular. And honestly, it reads less like a standard tech manual and more like a manifesto for a cyberpunk survivalist group.
It really does. It's a very specific, very detailed vision for a post-cloud era. I mean, the core idea here is that we have become dangerously dependent on these fragile, centralized systems.
The cloud.
Right, the cloud, data centers, constant internet connections. De Reticular is basically asking what happens when the cloud goes away, or when the cloud just can't reach you out in the desert.
Yeah, and before we get into the nuts and bolts, because there are a lot of nuts and bolts here, we have to talk about the vibe of this document.
The aesthetic is incredible.
It really is. Everything is matte black, brushed aluminum, hazard orange accents. They explicitly mention moody lighting and this industrial look. It feels like they're building props for a sci-fi movie,
Yeah.
but this is real functioning hardware.
It looks cinematic, sure, but the engineering underneath is incredibly practical. And that's really the first big takeaway here. De Reticular isn't manufacturing new silicon chips from scratch.
Right, they aren't building a new iPhone.
No, they are taking what they call commodity consumer tech things you can buy off the shelf today, like Skylink modems or Raspberry Pis, and they're upcycling and Lingenizing them.
Which brings us to their mission. They aren't just making cool-looking gadgets for the sake of it. They are trying to solve a very specific problem, which is how do you keep a network alive when literally everything else fails?
Well, if you look at their executive vision, they lay out three core philosophies. The first is that upcycle and ruggedized concept we just mentioned, taking a consumer toy and turning it into a military-grade asset.
Okay, what are the other two?
The second and third pillars are where it gets philosophically really interesting. They talk about a hardware root of trust and something called island mode.
Let's unpack island mode first, because that sounds like a vacation, but I have a strong feeling it isn't.
Far from it. Think about the smart home devices most people have, your thermostat, your doorbell camera.
Yeah, they are all cloud native.
Exactly. They constantly phone home to a server in California or Virginia. If your internet cuts out, they become dumb plastic bricks. They can't record, they can't think.
So if the cable gets cut or the satellite goes down, your smart house is basically lobotomized.
That's a great way to put it. De Reticular flips that completely. Island mode means every single node in their network, whether it's on a drone, a farm, or some mobile delivery bot, must be able to function 100% offline.
So the network is totally self-sufficient.
Completely. It keeps running locally. It only syncs up with the Lacutus Ledger, which is their distributed record, when connectivity is finally restored.
It's an offline-first mentality.
Right. It doesn't ask the internet for permission to work. It just works.
And the reason they are so paranoid about this seems to come down to the environment. I was reading their risk register, which is basically just a fancy list of things that can go wrong, and it is terrifying.
It is a very practical list for anyone operating in harsh conditions. They aren't worried about software bugs nearly as much as they are worried about physics. The number one risk they list is thermal runaway.
Which is a polite engineering way of saying batteries exploding.
Pretty much. They note that standard lithium-ion batteries, the kind in your phone and your laptop, they become chemically unstable above 70 degrees Celsius.
Which, inside a car parked in the Arizona sun, happens by noon.
Easily. If you leave a standard device on a dashboard in the high desert, it's a ticking time bomb. It's a literal HAZMAT risk.
And that leads us directly to the coolest part of this document, the hardware hack. They have a device called the Nomad Link.
Their iOS-NL01.
Right, and it starts its life as a regular consumer device. It's a Skylink Global SLG OVA6 modem. You can buy one right now online. But De Reticular performs surgery on it.
Radical surgery. The document calls it a mandatory hardware hack. To mitigate that thermal runaway risk we just talked about, they open up the modem and physically rip out the stock battery.
They just remove it. But wait, modern electronics usually freak out if you take the battery out, right? Like,
yeah,
they won't boot up because the firmware thinks something is severely wrong.
You are absolutely right. The firmware in these devices runs a power on self-test. It checks for a battery. If it doesn't see one, or if it sees the voltage is zero, it assumes the hardware is broken and shuts down to protect itself.
So it just bricks itself.
Right. So Deauticular has to trick the brain of the device.
This is the part that made me laugh out loud. It's just so clever. Walk us through the fix.
So step one is power. They install what's called a battery elimination circuit, or BEC. They take the power input, which might be a wildly fluctuating 12 volts or 48 volts from a car battery or a solar panel, and they step it down to exactly 4.0 volts.
Okay, so that mimics the power the battery would have provided.
Right, but that doesn't solve the sensor problem. The modem has a thermal sensor, usually connected to a pin called BSI, which stands for Battery Status Indicator. The computer is looking for a specific electrical resistance on that pin to tell it, hey, I am a healthy battery.
And since there is no battery anymore, that pin is just dead space.
Exactly. So Deauticular performs the surgical mod. They literally solder a 10-kilohm resistor directly to the BSI pin.
A 10-kilohm resistor? That's a tiny 10-cent component.
It is. But by connecting that resistor, they are spoofing the thermal sensor.
They are lying to the computer.
They are totally lying to the computer. The modem checks the circuit, sees the resistance from that 10-kilohm resistor, and said, ah, I see a healthy battery here. Temperature is stable. Everything is fine.
Wow.
And it boots up, powered directly by the grid or the solar panel, without any explosive chemicals inside.
That is pure engineering genius. It's like hot wiring a car, but for the internet.
It really is. And to finish it off, they 3D print a custom Nomad shell with a honeycomb pattern for ventilation. So now you have a device that can explode, doesn't care about the heat, and looks like it belongs in a cyberpunk bunker.
But there's a catch, right? I saw a note about Wi-Fi on the Nomad Link.
Yes. On the Nomad Link, they disable Wi-Fi entirely. They rely on USB-C tethering.
Why? Wouldn't you want Wi-Fi? It seems way more convenient.
Not in this context. If you have a bunch of these devices in a fleet kit or packed together in an off-road vehicle, you don't want them shouting over each other on the 2.4 gigahertz band.
Oh, because of interference.
Exactly. It creates a ton of interference. Plus, wires are always more reliable than waves. They use a protocol called RNDIS to tether it directly to the computer.
It's basically treating the USB cable as a hardwired network cable.
Exactly. Robust, shielded, interference-free.
Which brings us to the legal section of the document. I assume the manufacturer of the Skylink modem isn't exactly thrilled about people soldering resistors onto their motherboards.
Oh, absolutely not. The document is very clear on this. It says, the hardware hack voids the manufacturer's warranty. There is no ambiguity there, but I love Deauticular's solution to this.
Yeah, they offer their own warranty.
Right. They offer a sovereign 90-day warranty on the modification.
It's like they're saying, we broke the rules, but we stand by our breakage.
And they even apply a void warranty tamper seal during their manufacturing process. They wear it as a badge of honor. It signals that this is no longer a consumer toy. It is a modified industrial tool.
So that's the communication side. The Nomad Link gets you the signal.
Mm-hmm.
But what is actually controlling it? You mentioned this network needs a brain.
That would be the telemetry core. It's the mobile brain of the operation. And again, they start with a consumer favorite here, the Raspberry Pi 5.
The classic hobbyist computer. I think I have one collecting dust in a drawer somewhere.
Most people do. But Deauticular isn't using it to play retro video games. They mandate the 8 GB RAM version. And the reason is very specific. Crypto.
Crypto. Like Bitcoin.
Not mining, but encryption. They use ED2511 min cryptography to sign everything on the ledger.
Okay, so a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah, every message, every sensor reading, every location ping has to be cryptographically signed to prove it's real. That requires memory headroom. But the bigger change here is the storage. You know how Raspberry Pis usually run on those little micro SD cards?
Yeah, the tiny little plastic chips. I lose them all the time.
Well, Deauticular bans them. The document explicitly says micro SD cards are banned due to corruption risk.
Really? Why are they banned?
Because in a sovereign infrastructure context, you have heavy vibration from dirt roads, you have sudden power cuts. Micro SD cards are actually incredibly fragile. They corrupt easily under those conditions.
So what do they use instead?
They forced the use of a 256-gigabyte NVMe SSD. That's the kind of fast hard drive you have in a high-end laptop. And they connect it via a special PCIe adapter hat.
So it's basically a super-powered Raspberry Pi.
It is. And there's one tiny detail in the specs I found fascinating. They add a Panasonic ML2020 RTC battery.
RTC, that stands for real-time clock, right?
Correct. See, a Raspberry Pi doesn't actually have an internal clock battery. When you turn it off, it forgets what time it is.
Oh, right.
Usually when it turns back on, it asks the internet, hey, what time is it?
But wait, in island mode?
There is no internet. So if the device wakes up in the middle of the desert and doesn't know the time, it can't timestamp the ledger. It can't prove when data was recorded. So that tiny $3 watch battery is actually the linchpin of their entire offline truth system.
It's always the little things, right? You don't think about a clock battery until you're creating a new internet from scratch.
Right.
Now that's the mobile side of the brain, but the document also mentions a stationary unit, the Sovereign Sentry.
This is the heavy hitter. If the Nomad Link is a scout, the Sovereign Sentry is the fortress. It's running on an Intel Core i3 processor with 32 gigs of RAM. It's a proper server.
And it runs something they call the Trinity Stack.
Yes. This is a brilliant use of virtualization. They use a system called Proxmox to run three separate computers inside one physical box. The first is the gatekeeper. That's the security router, usually running pfSense.
Okay.
The second is the ledger. That's the core database using Freenet.
And the third one?
The third is the auditor. It runs Kali Linux. Now, for those who don't know, Kali Linux is usually used by hackers to break into systems. It's an offensive security tool.
So why do they have a hacker tool running inside their own system?
It acts as an autoimmune system. It automatically scans the other two virtual machines for vulnerabilities. It's constantly attacking itself to find weak spots before an actual enemy does.
That is wild. It's like having a security guard who tries to break into your house every night just to make sure the locks still work.
It's a very aggressive security posture, sure. But if you are building sovereign infrastructure, you can't rely on an external antivirus update. You need to be testing your own defenses constantly.
Speaking of defenses, let's talk about how you actually get into this system. We mentioned the hardware root of trust earlier. Does that mean I can't just type in a password?
No passwords allowed. Passwords can be phished. They can be guessed. They use the sovereign key, which is a white-labeled YubiKey 5C NFC. It's a physical USB stick. You have to physically hold this key to log in.
So if I steal your credentials, but I don't have the stick.
You aren't getting in, period. It uses FIDO2 protocols. But here is the massive risk with that. What if you lose the key?
Yeah, if there's no cloud, there's no forgot password link to email you a reset code.
Precisely. That's why they have the Deadman protocol. If a key is lost, they have a mechanism to revoke it globally via the Dereticular Academy. It's a serious commitment.
I mean,
if you lose your key, you are completely locked out of your own infrastructure until you can verify your physical identity through that protocol.
It really emphasizes how much we take for granted with modern tech convenience. Like, we trade real security for the convenience of resetting our passwords. They're going the exact opposite way.
They are maximizing agency. You own the security, which means you also own the risk.
I want to shift gears to how these things are actually made. The source document details the Node 3 workshop in Arizona. I get the naming conventions here.
Yeah.
It sounds like a video game level.
It really does. They have broken the whole manufacturing process down into specific stations.
Station A is the boneyard.
Right. That's intake. They get these used Skylink units, test them, and just toss the dead ones. Then comes Station C, which is the surgical mod. That's where they rip out the battery and solder in that resistor we talked about.
And then the gauntlet.
Station D. This is where they stress test the units. They do a literal smoke test, applying power to see if magic smoke comes out. And then a thermal burn-in.
How hot do they get them?
They run the modified units at 40 degrees Celsius for 30 minutes under heavy load.
Just to make sure that resistor hack is actually holding up.
Exactly. If it survives the gauntlet, it goes to Station E, the outpost. That's where they put on the fancy 3D printed shell, apply that void warranty seal, and kit it up for deployment.
It's fascinating to see this level of detail for what is essentially a boutique operation.
Mm.
But looking at the financials they included in the source, this isn't a charity.
No, it's a very viable business. They list the Nomad Link with a gross margin of about 40%. The telemetry core is closer to 57%.
Oh, those are solid numbers.
Yeah. By upcycling consumer tech, buying it relatively cheap, modifying it and adding value through ruggedization and custom software, they have created a highly sustainable ecosystem.
It's not just a weekend hobby project.
No, and that's a crucial point. If you want infrastructure to actually last, the organization building it needs to be financially sustainable too. They aren't relying on massive venture capital injections. They are relying on selling useful, rugged hardware to people who genuinely need it.
I really love the visual description of the fleet kit they put together. The document describes a knolling shot. That's where everything's arranged at perfect right angles, flat lay style.
Yes. You see the Nomad Link, the telemetry core, the RAM mounts, the power whips. It presents this very orderly, highly controlled aesthetic.
In a chaotic world or a chaotic environment like a disaster zone, there is something very appealing about that level of organization.
It connects right back to that cyberpunk vibe. It's essentially saying, the world is messy, but my gear is precise.
My gear is ready.
My gear is ready. That is exactly the message.
So zooming out a bit, we have this company, DeReticular. They are taking Skylinks and Raspberry Pis, ripping out the dangerous bits, armor plating them, and loading them with paranoid levels of security software. What is the big picture here? Why does this matter to you if you aren't driving a curb car through the desert?
I think it matters because it completely challenges our everyday assumptions about smart technology. We tend to think that the newest, sleekest device is inherently the best.
Sure.
But DeReticular is showing us that in a true edge case scenario where the power is out, the heat is rising, and the network is totally down, our smart devices are actually very dumb and very, very fragile.
They are fragile because they depend on things we can't control.
Yeah.
Cloud, the air conditioning, the basic battery chemistry.
Exactly. DeReticular is building a parallel option. A post-cloud internet. It's niche right now, sure. But as weather gets more extreme, and as we worry more about cybersecurity and fragile supply chains, the idea of sovereign infrastructure, stuff you actually own that works offline, that you can fix yourself with a soldering iron, that becomes very appealing.
It's insurance.
It is active insurance. It's not just a policy paper. It's a ruggedized router that works when the world is burning.
You know, it makes me look at my phone differently right now. I'm looking at it on the desk thinking, you are one hot day away from betraying me.
And you are one forgotten password away from being locked out completely.
That is a very sobering thought. We assume we are connected, but really we are just renting a connection that only works under perfect conditions.
That's the real takeaway here. True connection, according to DeReticular at least, requires resilience. And resilience requires getting your hands dirty, sometimes literally ripping the battery out to stay safe.
So, here is something for you to think about as you go about your day, listening to this on your seamlessly cloud-connected device. If the internet went completely dark tomorrow and the temperature outside spiked to 110 degrees, would your technology be a tool that helps you survive? Or would it just be a shiny black brick melting in your pocket?
That is the big question.
Thanks for joining this deep dive with us today. Until next time, stay curious. And maybe go check the temperature rating on your gear.
Stay safe out there.